Smart Initiative, as explained, allows people to sign, involves essentially two aspects, providing everyone in the state of California with a digital certificate for their PCs and PDAs, if they have one, and on a smart card in any case, and then allowing them to use these certificates to digitally sign initiative petitions over the internet. That's really all it involves. When Dr. Baer explained that we needed a comprehensive structure that would let them sign lots of things, that's exactly what Smart Initiatives, as I see it, does. It starts by saying you get the certificates, you can use them to sign initiatives, but you can also use them for e-commerce, for e-government, for checking your children's homework assignments at school, or anything that you need to use secure over the internet identification and authentication for. What I essentially want to do now is dispel what I consider the four main objections to Smart Initiatives, and then go over a little bit more what I think the advantages of it are, and then say what I think we should be doing next. The first two are political. It's what I call too many signatures. The argument is made that if Smart Initiatives go into place, there'll be hundreds of initiatives on the ballot every time, it'll destroy representative government, and it'll create chaos. I don't think that there's an instinct for signing initiative petitions, that people are just waiting to do this, and if it were more convenient, cheaper, and faster, and easier, they would just wildly and indiscriminately sign initiative petitions. I think the number of initiatives is a function of how well and how responsive the legislature is, and when the legislature is responsive and it's acting in a responsive way, the population doesn't launch a lot of initiative campaigns. When it isn't, it does. So I think that the technology that's used to get the petition signed is not the important factor here. It's the relationship between the population and the legislature. The second argument is kind of the reverse. It says not enough signatures will be available. It says the digital divide, which is one of the main arguments against internet voting, will apply here as well. And people without computers won't be able to sign the initiative petitions. That's not true at all. Under the Smart Initiatives, as I wrote it, the existing legacy paper and ink system for signing initiative petitions exists completely untouched. It can continue to go on just the way it does. In addition, since everyone in the state, regardless of whether they own a computer already, will be getting a computer on a card, which is what a smart card is, they'll be able to have their digital certificate stored on that card, and they'll be able to go to publicly available computers in libraries, schools, malls, wherever they are, and digitally sign petitions. So the issue of not enough signing is no more valid than the one about too much signing. Those are sort of political objections. Now I want to deal with two technical objections. The first is malicious code. The Secretary of State's report about internet voting makes this case most emphatically and says that the danger of internet voting, as it is in initiative petition signing, is that crackers will be sitting in some basement in Los Altos Hills, and they'll write code, and they'll send it to all the computers in the state, and this code will be invisible, but it will sign petitions wildly without the knowledge of the people who own the computers, or it'll block the signing of petitions. I think that if someone is diabolical and clever enough to figure out how to do this, that they're going to start attacking people's bank accounts and their frequent flyer mile accounts and every other kind of place where they can get money out of it. I don't think that they're going to want to bother to interfere with the initiative process. But even if they did, the same process that prevents people from doing, or that stands in the way of people doing this with banks and airlines, is that a statement is issued by your bank once a month, by your frequent flyer program every so often. And it says, here's your flights. And you look at it and you check. Oh, I did fly it. I did. Well, wait a minute, I flew 100,000 miles last month and there's nothing there. You call up the company and you say, well, there's a mistake here, and you get it taken care of. Similarly, the state of California or the counties could issue statements once a month, once every 5 months, if that's what the signing period is, and say, here's the petitions you've signed or you haven't signed any, and people who know whether they've done that or not can then complain and get it fixed up. So I think it's very unlikely that it would happen, and if it did happen, it could be overcome. The final argument that I take to be issued against Smart Initiatives is that digital certificates are an inadequate means of authenticating and identifying people online. That seems to be the language that's used in the Internet Voting Task Force report about Smart Initiatives. However, I don't know if you've seen this in the material I provided you with. In October of 1999, Bill Jones is quoted as saying, smart cards are great, digital certificates are great. We laud these companies for providing them. We welcome it as a means for citizens to do secure, authenticatable business with the state of California. In November, another company came online and he said the same thing. In January of 2000, the report said, digital certificates, they're no good. They're compromised, they become corrupted, they're stolen, they're sold, they're useless. Well, I agree with the Bill Jones of October and November of 1999, and I think he should too. So those are what I see as the four main arguments against smart initiatives, and I think they're all, when examined carefully, not really worthy of blocking the presence of smart initiatives because, as I'm going to mention again, there are many advantages. You've probably heard from Dr. Baer some of the advantages in terms of, but essentially what they do that's most important is for the proponents, they save money on the order of 100 times of what it costs. So that as it now exists, if you want to put an initiative on the ballot in California, it costs you $1 million. However, that's going to be look like a low price because there's an increasing tendency legally. The appellate courts, for example, have recently ruled that the Prunyard decision that allowed people to use to do petitioning in malls doesn't apply to places like Walmarts. And as malls sort of decline in popularity and Walmarts and such stores increase, that's one more place that can't be used for signing initiative petitions. The U.S. Postal Service has said post offices are off limits for people trying to sign initiative petitions. Where are you going to go? Well, I think that if this is going to raise the cost to 2 million or 3 million or 4 million, because the only other things you can do are send out millions of petitions in the mail or send out workers door to door to harass people at home instead of in the public places, and it's going to cost $1, $2, $3, $4 million to put initiatives on the ballot. This works fine if you're Tim Draper or George Soros or Ron Unz. But if you're a person or a group with a good idea but not a lot of money, you can't put an initiative on the ballot. It's not going to stop the major corporate interests or very rich people from doing it. It will stop normal, everyday citizens who have good ideas who want to do it. And therefore, I think eliminating that problem by making it only necessary in the case of a really good idea and to develop a $10,000 website, put it up, let people know about it, and collect the signatures. So that's one advantage to the proponents. For the signers, everything that Dr. Baer said about putting more information on the internet for the people who are thinking of signing it is great. Do it. Put the pros, put the cons, put discussions, put as much information as you want, make it convenient, have interactivity. The net is not staying the way it is. It's getting more voice, it's getting more interactive video, it's getting broadband, it's becoming mobile. The possibility of having discussions from wherever you are and whoever you are is becoming greater and greater. These are all great steps and they ought to be taken. But they need the component of actual legal capability to do something politically on the internet. And to do that, the state needs to know it's really you. And to do that, you need the digital certificates. And that's why the Smart Initiatives petition is the way it is. Now, finally, the benefits are not only to the proponents and the signers, who can do it conveniently at their own time and their own pace, but to the state, to the counties and to the state that have to verify these signatures. I've never actually seen it, but I imagine that in LA at least, there's a warehouse where people have, where workers are there hard at work on roller skates, skating back and forth, taking the signatures on the pieces of paper and finding the cards in this particular card stock and looking them up and comparing it, doing, you know, kind of looking, if this is a familiar gesture, sort of looking like this to see whether they match. And then they say, okay, that one matches. And then using complicated formulas to extrapolate from the number that have been checked to the number that are required. With digital signatures, you can check all the signatures, every one of them, in much less time than it takes to, you know, not to skate one back and forth in the warehouse, but in a pretty short time. And so all the participants in this process, the signers, the proponents, and the state in the form of the counties, will all benefit from smart initiatives. Other benefits, e-government. Let me throw this part in up ahead here. There's an energy crisis. Using more energy is not something we can really do anymore. We need to use less energy. That means doing things remotely. That means doing things over the internet. And if we want to do government business over the internet, we have to be able to authenticate and identify the people securely. So that if there's a process you have to do, you find the form on the internet, you fill it out, you digitally sign it, the database is populated back at the agency based on the information you've provided, you haven't left home, you've used a little bit of electricity, you haven't used gas, you haven't been, all those things that you'd have to, the 100 times more energy and the 100 times more time you'd have to take to do it. Smart initiatives enables more e-government. E-government's great. Bill Jones says, we're going to do it. Let's do it. Let's do it for more agencies, more of the time, and smart initiatives is the way into that. E-commerce. I was reading the Wall Street Journal on the way up here. It's kind of an iffy kind of thing these days. The venture capitalists aren't putting any more money into e-commerce. But it needs some kind of a lift. It needs a way of securing the identity of people more securely. Smart Initiatives provides the digital certificates that will enable e-commerce to operate at a higher level. Telecommuting, telework, tele-education, telemedicine, if you want to transfer your medical records from one party to another, they want to know it's you. Digital certificates allow you to do that. Smart Initiatives puts that into place.
Mark, I'm going to just, rather than pitching all the advantages that you may want to sell the governor, I'm going to stay focused on the initiative issues. And why don't you wrap up a little bit, because we want to have a discussion.
Sure, I want to do that too. Last point. Wise analysis seems to say at the end that it might be okay to do this, but we don't have enough money for it. Well, it seems to me that what we ought to do, if the problem is that the state doesn't want to spend $200 million to do this, that it can do what it's done to build other important infrastructure that's helped build the economy and society of California, the water projects, roads, and whatnot. And that's to issue general obligation bonds. And for $200 million, that would be used to set up smart initiatives. And you say, well, then where do we get the money to do it? I thought about that for a few minutes, and I realized that if the government say, if the various agencies save a certain amount of money doing e-government transactions, that half of that money could be set aside to pay off the bonds. In addition, there's something called Access Indiana, where the government of Indiana is doing advanced e-government functions and selling valuable data that's been sliced and diced in valuable ways to people for money. In addition, all the regular stuff is available for free, but value-added data is available for money. That's a second source of revenue that could pay off the bonds. And finally, the way I imagine it, with 25 million Californians holding these digital certificates issued by the state of California, when they buy something, when they do e-commerce, someone has to authenticate that transaction or the identity of the person who did it. And I see the state of California doing that and charging people a certain amount for doing these non-governmental functions. And that's a third source of revenue that could be used to pay off the bond. So that's what I'd like to see happen. And finally, I hope to talk about it a little bit more. Wally said, let's do a field test. I've been working with a company called Gem Plus, which is the world's biggest smart card company. They've built a field test. I want to invite every member of the commission to submit to my email address, their email address, so that we can send them the information that they'll need to go to the site that we've set up and run the test. We're going to send you a smart card and a smart card reader and the instructions and information so that you can get a certificate and so that you can sign some simulated petitions that we've set up. And so you can see it's ready to go. And we'd like you to help us make it go. Thanks very much.
All right, thank you for a provocative presentation. I'm going to turn now.